so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Psalms 51:10. The Bible says, "Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me." One translation says, "Create in me a detox heart, renew a right spirit, a steadfast spirit within me." And then in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 12, verses number 1 through 13, I read it on Sunday. I'm going to read it very quickly tonight for time's sake. "Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, 'There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man and refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and..." Okay, I'm not going to go that fast. "But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, 'As the Lord lives, this man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold of the lamb, because he did this thing and because he had no pity.' And then Nathan said to David, 'You are the man. Thus says the Lord of Israel, I have anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have also given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house. And I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with her, with your wives, in the sight of this son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun.' And so David said to Nathan, 'I have sinned against the Lord.' And Nathan said to David, 'The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die.'" Aren't you glad for repentance? Amen. Aren't you glad that God will put away your sin and you shall not surely die? Glory to God. You know, I was reading something, and boy, I'm trying not to get off of. As I was just reading it, something hit me there in verse number 8. Can you bring up 8 real quick, Broderick? I know I told you to go hurry, but number 8, verse 8, said, "I gave you your master's daughters, your master's house, and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Judah." And right there, "And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more." But somewhere along the line, you got detoxed, or you got toxic. "And I would have given you so much more, but because of your heart, you were not able to handle it." I wonder how many of us sitting in this place right now, God had so much more in store for you to be where you are, to be beyond where you are right now. But because of our heart, we could not handle it. Because of toxicity in our heart, we could not handle what God had wanted to give us. I believe that probably all of us are there at some point or another. And I continue to pray, God, enlarge the capacity of my heart. Enlarge the capacity of my leadership. Enlarge the capacity of my life. Because that's where we need the capacity to love, the capacity to enjoy, the capacity to do what God has called us to do. Can you say amen? And we begin to talk about the number one toxic threat to your future. And we understood that it is you. And I'm going to run through this real quickly. We understand it is you. And then we gave you, because somebody asked, "Pastor, how do you know if you're the toxic person?" Well, and then we decided that we would do, and I say we, me, God, and the Holy Spirit. We decided we would take, you might be toxic if, like the old Jeff Foxworthy, you might be a redneck if. But this says, number one is this, you might be toxic if you care too much about what others think. Now that ain't a problem with most folks. Most folks could care less. Number two, you spend too much time worrying over things that haven't even happened. You may say, Pastor, you're going too fast. I preached 40 minutes or 45 already this Sunday on five of these. Number three, you take on everybody else's problems. Oh, I thought I was being a good neighbor. No, you're not being a good neighbor. You don't have to take on everybody else's problems, especially when they dump them on you and leave and go to the movies for you to deal with it. Number four, you spend a great deal of your life complaining, complaining, and complaining. Quit being everybody's complaint department. Number five, focusing too much on what you don't have rather than being thankful for what you do have. Because to ignore what you do have, or what you are to concentrate on what you don't have is to waste what you do have. And I didn't even preach this number six on Sunday because I think that I read this in a list, just to be honest with you. I read this in a list of things, of an article I was reading and thought it was very, very good. But number six says, you might be toxic if you're worrying so much about your outward appearance to the point you are defeated over it. Now, we know that that would be 80% of the folks who go to Walmart don't have to deal with number six. Matter of fact, many folks who go to Walmart, if they don't have any friends, if they did, they'd say, mm-mm, baby, you ain't wearing out that. No, you're not going to go out. I'm not going with you like that. But they'll come up in a group, and a group of folks looking all, like my wife says, throwaway children. So you're worrying so much about your outward appearance to the point you are defeated over it. Quit comparing you to everybody's touched up photographs. Quit comparing your life to everybody's Instagram that's been filtered. But let me preach on number seven. Number seven, you constantly are surrounding yourself with people who make you miserable. Now remember, hang on. Well, that's my family. Wait a minute. Because you can't always sever the relationship with family. All right, so what do you do? Remember number two? What do you do with toxic relationship? You sever, number one. Or number two, I can't remember what it is. You manage it. There it is. You manage it. And then number three, God can change it, right? Now, some of you have been waiting for God to change them for 20 years and you're not married to them. You're just friends with them. Time to kick it to the curb, bro. All right? So now we are to love everybody, right? We're to love everybody, but here's the truth. We don't have to hang out with everyone on a regular basis. Well, that's why I know some of y'all are at home right now watching this on live stream. That's why I don't go to church. You're wrong. Amen. Because if you don't ever have to get around people to test your grace and your salvation, how do you know it's real? I can be a Christian in a cave when nobody else messes with me, because me and Jesus, we ain't got a problem. Me and God, we ain't got a problem. Me and the Word ain't got a problem. We have a problem when I have to deal with other people. Amen. And then walk out that salvation with other people. That's how you know you're saved. Amen. There are some people who do nothing but bring drama and stress into your life. Do not point them out. But it is impossible to consistently hang out with toxic people and not become toxic yourself. It's impossible. If you lay down with the dogs long enough, you're going to get fleas. Amen. Right? You can't do it, baby. You're not going to be able to hang out with a bunch of chickens and eventually not start pecking in the dirt. Because that's what they do. If all you do is hang out with those who are negative, who are full of complaints and destructive behavior, can I tell you that you're headed for trouble? Look around your closest people, the people you call your confidant, the people you call your mentors, and if you look at their life, that's where you're headed. Some of y'all thinking right now, I need to make a new friends list. Because toxic people are contagious with their toxicity. Proverbs 22:24 says this, do not associate with a man to anger, who is given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. Now listen, I just want to show of hands. I'm not talking about pointing them out. But how many knows that you used to not be as angry as you was until you started hanging out with so-and-so? You didn't have a problem wanting to kill people until you started... No, I'm not going to... Because my wife is bet there. You didn't have a problem. You know, if you're not careful, you'll get around people who talk about folks and you'll just get right in there and get talking about folks with them. So you got to understand that you might be toxic if you're constantly surrounding yourself with people who make you miserable. And then there are people who make you miserable because the truth is they are miserable. Misery loves company. Miserable means dejected, depressed, downcast, and despondent. Anybody ever talk with folks and when you leave, you feel like you need to go take a shower? Or you leave and you feel like you're walking in molasses? Because good Lord, they are just so, they just wear me out. Right? And when you know who those people are, then you got to get up before you really go and see those people. And so I don't hang out with people who make me feel dejected, who make me feel depressed, who make me feel downcast, who make me feel despondent, because I'm just not going to do it. And let me say something here. You cannot continue to choose the same kind of relationships and expect different results. Well, I like the strong, silent type. Well, you've been divorced 7 times. It's time to change your type. Now we laugh because it is funny, but the reality is I have people tell me all that time, oh, Pastor, I love them. They're just strong and silent. And then you get married and you go, they don't ever talk. They didn't talk in the beginning. Learn from your past and refuse to repeat the same mistakes, guys. Pay attention. Stop allowing yourself to be drawn to toxic people. Because you know why? Well, I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings. Sometimes we're drawn to toxic people because it makes us feel better about ourselves. Because at least I'm not them. I finally found somebody I could help. And if you're not careful, they'll draw you and suck you right back into that toxic lifestyle. You might be toxic. Number 8, if you clutter your life with too much of what does not matter. One of the most toxic things you can do is to fill your life with clutter. To fill your life with clutter. You can't. I mean, how many of you ever watched those show Hoarders? Man, I'm telling you, I'd be in jail. I'd be killing folk. I couldn't take it. But they get so much clutter over time that they cannot function in a regular situation. And that's what happens to your mind, to your spirit. You get so cluttered, your life is so cluttered with stuff that does not matter that you can't do what does matter. Because your life is just filled with stuff that don't matter. Clutter is a jumble, a tangle, or a heap, or a hodgepodge, disorder, a mess. We can get so much going on in our lives that things are not in order, they are in disorder. Listen to me.
Remember years ago, you didn't have to worry about little league having practices and games on Wednesday night because everybody knew that was church night. But now we're out of disorder because anything that comes down the pike will take us out of church. Listen to me now. I'm not against vacation. I love vacation. You ought to love vacation. If you never had one, then you ought to start doing something to know that you can have one. But my thing is this. We let so much that does not matter take the place of stuff that does matter. And then we don't have time to do the things that do matter. And so have you ever had toxic times where you felt like your life was a mess? And in these times, you feel like life is just a big mess that you can't get a grasp on. You can't get your hands around. You can't get your arms around it. And your mind and your days are just fuller with one or another thing. And here's the truth. Life becomes a toxic mess if you don't prioritize what matters most. Amen. What matters most? Well, I can tell you what matters most. God and your family. Amen. What matters most? Let me tell you what matters most. Not even your kids after God. No, maybe, you know, God, then your spouse. Why? Because your kids are going to leave you one day. Well, you don't know my spouse. They're going to leave me too. Well, quit acting a fool. Quit acting a fool, and they might not. I done told my wife, if she leaves me, tell me where she's going, because I'm going to leave me too. Now, but then your kids, you got to take care of your kids. You got to do what's right with your kids. How many knows that raising kids right is work? You need to make sure you do your best to take care of your kids, because they're going to choose which nursing home you go in. So you got to make sure they're okay. All right, I'm gonna set somebody free. I'm gonna tell you, man. When I came across this, and I have a years ago, because my wife's here, I've come across it years ago. I don't always practice it, but I try to. And that is this: you cannot be all things to everybody. I'm gonna say that again: you can't be all things to everybody. You cannot be all things to everybody. I'm gonna help you. You cannot fix everything. You cannot fix everybody. You know, I had somebody call today, wanted to talk to me, ain't been in the church in about 8, 10, 15 years. They had a question they just had to ask me. So the secretary brought in and she told me who it was, and I'm in a conversation and a meeting with Pastor Cash, and I told him, I said, no, I'm in a meeting. So she went in there and she came back and told me what he wanted. She was able to answer it, and you know, but listen, everybody's situation, it doesn't take priority over your situation. And don't get mad because it don't. Amen. Poor planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on somebody else's part. There's another part of that I won't say in church. Those of you who were saying it with me, you know what it is. Oh, yeah. All right, let me say this. You cannot say yes to everything. You know, I remember Gabby Kirk and my oldest daughter, they were riding in the back seat, and they were just kids, and they're, you know, in their 8 or 9 years old, and Jillian asked, could they do something? I said, and I looked back and I said, maybe. And Gabby, she goes, maybe means no. No, it doesn't. Maybe means maybe. If we have time, if I get around to it, whatever the case may be. But you cannot say yes to everything. You have to say yes to the most important and then maybe to the less important. But make sure you know what really is important. Can I get a good amen?
Amen.
All right, let me see where I'm at. All right, when your life is filled with clutter, at the end of the day, you wonder what happened. But when you live your life with priorities in mind, you know what happened. At the end of the day, you're like, where did the day go? Well, you don't know because you lived your life without priorities. When you know what's up, then you at the end of the day, you know what you did. I love this. There's a little book, and there's a leadership book, but I really enjoyed it. It's called Eat a Frog First Every Morning. And the premise of the book is, do the hard thing first. When you got enough energy, when you the things you don't feel like you ought to do, do that first, and then the rest of the day is going to be good. When you do the thing you hate to do first thing in the morning, that's why most people work out first thing in the morning. Good preaching. Never sacrifice what is important for what is most important. Let that sink in. Never sacrifice what is important for what is most important. If you really want to declutter your life, start with the don't do list instead of the do list. You ready? What do you mean by that, Pastor? Begin with the things that are not important and decide no mas. No more. I'm not going to do these anymore. You know, and if you do this, you'll be happy and enjoy a little simplicity. What don't make you happy? Now, there are some things that don't make us happy. There are some things that we don't think are important, but they're still important. You know, if you got kids, you still got to get up and get them up. Unless they're 37. And then, in my opinion, you're on your own. You know, when my kids started going to college, I quit getting them up in the mornings. Or my wife quit getting them up. Because my wife would let me sleep. Because she knew I needed it. Beauty sleep. Didn't know no good. Life is too short. Life is too short to live in a cluttered mess of your life. Now here's what can you give me some scripture for it? Yes, may I can. Hebrews chapter 12. The Bible says, lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, and run the race with patience. See, now listen, I want you to understand that something about the scripture is that when it says the weight and sin, you know, there are weights and there are sin. They're not the same. They're not synonymous. Not everything that is a weight is a sin, but everything that is a sin is a weight. Amen. I'm going to say that again. Everything that is a weight is not necessarily a sin, but everything that is a sin is a weight. So lay aside every sin and weight that does so easily beset you. That means that you got stuff going, but you let these things come in and clutter up your life and don't do what you know you ought to do. You might be toxic. Number 9, if you hold on to grudges, anger, and unforgiveness, let it go. Do you know who suffers the most when you hold on to grudges, angers, and unforgiveness? You do. You do. I've told this story many times. There was a guy back when I was the worship leader at a church, and I had been gone almost 10 years. I went back and preached, and this guy came up to me, and he goes, Pastor Ronnie, he said, he didn't call me Pastor. He said, Ronnie, he said, I want to ask you to forgive me. I go, okay, you're forgiven. I said, what do you mean? He said, I've hated you since you left this church. And I thought, oh, he hated me because he was mad that I left. No, that was not the case. I said, what did you hate me? And what he hated me for, I didn't even do. And then I told him, he goes, you didn't? I go, no. He thought we hid his wife from him. Dude, you was bugged way back then, bro, if you watching. He was crazy. He thought we had hid his wife from him. And I don't know where she's at, man. We hit her so good, we hit her from us too. And he goes, really? He said, well, I'm sorry, I've lost sleep over it. And I said, man, I'm so sorry because I ain't lost a wink of sleep over it. I was only able to sleep 9 hours last night because of it. All right? So you got to let yourself go, right? You're the only one that truly suffers. When people hold on to anger, grudges, and unforgiveness, you're the only one that really suffers if you hang on to it. Holding on to anger and bitterness is like taking poison and expecting someone else to die. Boy, I'm going to kill them. Just watch this. Are you getting sick now? You feeling drowsy? Doesn't work, man. They're not dwelling on the situation you are. But even if someone has not given you the apology you deserve, let me tell you from experience, let it go. Let it go. But Pastor, I don't trust them. Nobody's asking you to. Forgiveness and trust are two different things. I can forgive you without trusting you. I'm not, remind me to tell you what I was going to say earlier. Yeah. Holding on to anger, grudges, and unforgiveness imprisons you in the past and robs you of your future. Some folks have lived there for years, imprisoned by their past, and haven't been able to enjoy what God has for you now. The sooner you move on, the better you'll be off. Forgiveness sets you free. Oh, but Pastor, there's no budge in my grudge. Yeah. Understand something. When you forgive, you're not saying that it's okay what you did to me. When you forgive, you're saying, I forgive you, or I forgive what you did to me, even though it's not okay what you did to me. But I forgive you. And matter of fact, you know, you can go on and say, I forgive you what you did to me, but I'm not going to empower you to keep doing it to me. Are you listening to me? Well, Pastor, how do you know, and this is the best definition I know of, how do you know that you're getting forgiveness in an area? When you see that person or think of that person, and it's less and less and less that you want to kill them and stick them in a gator hole. That's the best thing I know, all right? Does it still hurt? Yeah, but, you know, right now I don't want to kill them. I don't want to kill them and tell God they died. I just want fleas to find their way in their armpit. But I don't want to kill them now. And then as you get over it, it gets less and less. And then, you know, when you know you've really forgiven, when you start feeling sorry for them. Wow. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with one another, or bear with each other, and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, you might want to write this down, or if you're taking notes. I think I have this. Do I have this? The first to apologize is the bravest. The first to forgive is the strongest. And the first to forget is the happiest. The first to apologize is the bravest. The first to forgive is the strongest. And the first to forget is the happiest. Yet, do you know people who are still mad at something that happened 27 years ago? And they haven't lived their life, they're still mad. And you're just like, you know, move on, bro. Move on. Move on so you can move up. Detox, baby. I'm not going to be toxic anymore. Because if you don't get over this, you're going to be toxic for the rest of your life. No matter what it is. Listen to me. Some of us, maybe nobody in here, I've dealt with this before, but some of us have to forgive God. Wait a minute, Pastor. What do you mean forgive God? Because God didn't do what you think that he should have done. And you wouldn't do it openly because you're too holy for that. But somewhere deep down in the recesses, you still blame God and you're still mad at God. How do you know? Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. When my brother died, I knew that God was going to heal him. He knew that God was going to heal him. And I was angry and I didn't understand why I was angry. And I knew that I was in trouble when my wife told me one day, she said, honey, I've called the office, you're not going in. I said, why am I not going in? She said, because you're going on a motorcycle ride. I go, I am? She said, yes, you are. So I don't need a motorcycle ride. I got stuff I got to do. She goes, you need to go on a motorcycle ride and defrag. And then I said, I don't know. I was getting ugly. You know, you ain't going to tell me when I'm going to go on a motorcycle ride, blah, blah, blah. And you think I would go, sure, okay. And then my children, they said, Dad, you need to. I went, wow, when my kids know it. I went on a motorcycle ride, and I was going down the road. And usually, if I've got my radio on my bike on, then I'm listening. But if I don't have it on, I'm normally praying. And I was praying that day, and I was praying, and all of a sudden, I began to cry. Let me rephrase that. Because as I was going down the road, I heard the Lord say, I forgive you.
And I thought, what did I do? I ain't done nothing wrong. And I'm, you know, anybody, maybe y'all wasn't raised like I was, but I started checking. What did I do? Let's see. Hadn't done that. Thought about that, but I didn't do that. Hadn't done that. God, I'm good. And then the Lord said, I forgive you for being mad at me for your brother's death. And I had to pull the motorcycle off the side of the road, get off, because I was crying so uncontrollably. And I didn't realize that I was upset with God and needed to forgive God. Now, did God lose any sleep? I'm pretty sure he did. But I had to get that forgiveness in my spirit. So don't leave God out of the equation. If you need to forgive God, you need to get that underneath the blood. You might be toxic. Number 10, you remember too much of what has gone wrong in your life rather than reminisce about what's gone right. Oh, my goodness. You know, I can go to a church not long and tell you what kind of church it is, because if they reminisce about the good old days, if that's all they talk about, I thank God for the good old days, and I still talk about the good old days, and every once in a while we'll sing one of them good old day songs. Come on, somebody. And there's nothing wrong with that, but if that's all they talk about, boy, I remember when we used to have services. I don't know what happened. No, I remember now, like even tonight, how the Holy Ghost just came in this place, you know? But if you talk about it, you got to remember, if you remember too much about what's gone wrong in your life, rather than reminiscing about what's gone right, you might be toxic. Because there's some right things that went on in your life. There's anybody in this place, let me ask this question. It's not a trick question. Is anybody in this place has never nothing bad ever happened in your life? Raise your hand. If Weston could, he would raise his hand. But no, because he's pooped his pants. There's things going wrong. All right? But how many in this place have said, praise God, there's been some things that went right. Thank God for some right things. You know, if Weston was able, he'd say yes, because mama's changing my diaper right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So often we remember what's gone wrong rather than remembering what's gone right. And there's a difference between remembering and reminiscing. Remembering is to look back, to call to mind, to memorize positive or negative happenings from the past. And when all you do is remember what's gone wrong and what hasn't worked and who didn't help you, then you're toxic. Oh, I'm going to remember you. I'm going to remember you. Some people not helping you helped you. Because if somebody did everything for you, you wouldn't know how to do things for yourself. Amen. All right? You still with me? Mm-hmm. We need to learn how to reminisce. Here's the problem, though. What's gone wrong seems to shout louder than what's gone right. That's why you got to reminisce and begin to really think about what's gone right in your life. Reminisce means to indulge in enjoyable recollection of past events. Anybody ever do that? You know, you just kind of look back. Man, that's reminisce. Reminiscing. Remember the best vacation you ever had? Oh, yeah. Best meal you ever had? Best wife you ever had? Mine happens to be the same one. How you doing? Look for the good and focus on the good. Rejoice about the good. Tell your neighbor a couple of things. Listen, tell your neighbor a couple of things what's gone good. Right? Instead of everything that's gone bad, tell them what's gone good. Learn to play to what you're best at. Oh, I'm going to skip down like, wait, where am I at? Okay, I remember. Now, number 11. You might be toxic, number 11, if you focus too much on your weakness and not enough on your strengths. If you focus too much. I'm not saying that you shouldn't try to improve your weakness. But I went to a seminar one day trying to encourage and trying to learn more. Because listen to me. If you're not trying to better yourself, guess what? You're probably not going to get better. If you don't read a book, if you don't, you know, here's the crazy thing. We got marriage. We got a married night. What is it called? Married life, thank you. We got married life that happens every month, and people with bad marriages never go. But then, you won't go to it, but you want another night. You want another night, not when he's already doing some marriage counseling. No, we need personal. Because our situation is different than anything else. We don't want nobody to know that we're bad. Trust me, everybody already knows. When you come walking in and the husband walking 6 feet behind the wife, we know that you done kicked a dog, slapped somebody, slammed the door. We know. And married life is not for bad couples and bad marriages. It helps bad marriages, but strengthens good marriages. And it's not the same. Some folks can't manage a checkbook. Some folks can't balance a checkbook, but you won't go to a finance class. Because ain't nobody going to tell me. I'm grown. Ain't nobody going to tell me what I don't have to do with my money. Oh, I need $20. Praise God. I believe I will.
Amen.
But here's what the guy said at the seminar. He said, you know what to do with your weakness? And I'm thinking, hey, I got this one. What you do with your weakness, you work on them. And he goes, no. He said, no. He said, if you can strengthen them, he said, but work to your strengths. What you're good at, what comes easy. And then surround people who are good at what you're not. And so I said, then I'm going to have to surround myself with everybody because everybody, somebody's better than what I am at it. That was kind of a joke. Play to your strengths and be thankful and do your best to improve where you are weak. But play to your strengths. What are you good at? You might be toxic number 12. Number 12, you don't have vision and hope for tomorrow. You're toxic. You're toxic. Well, Pastor, I don't know what I want. Well, do you know what you don't want? Determine what you don't desire, and it'll help show you what you do desire. Well, I don't know what I want. You want a poke in the eye? No? No? Okay, that's one thing's down. Right? What don't you want? What don't you want? Determine what you don't desire, and it'll help show you what you do desire. I don't desire to be treated badly. All right. This is what I desire. Then what does that mean? That means I desire to be treated good. I don't want to waste my life. Then what does that mean? That means I desire a purpose. I don't want to not have desire. Does that make sense? I don't want to not have desire, so I've got to get a desire. So start out with what you don't want. I don't want to be unhealthy, so then get healthy. Start out with what you don't want, and it helps you determine what you do want. And let me give you another little piece. The things that aggravate you the most about society and or your organization is usually a clue of what God has called you to help fix. You can actually find out what you want by defining what you don't want.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.